Folks, if you love Mega like we think you do, do us a small favor. Join the Patreon. It's the number one way to support a small podcast like ours. The year we had was, well, I wouldn't say we didn't get our asses kicked with strikes and podcasting budgets getting slashed. So why not just head over and give it a try? You can do a free trial on Patreon. If that's not in your plan, at the very least, share your favorite episode of Mega with a friend and leave us a review and a 5-star rating on Apple Podcast. We'd love to keep going, and we can't do it without you. Thanks. I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but when my friend Clay Mason Bannerman and I want to impress our new lady friends, Tiffer and Mickey, we don't even have to take them to a restaurant. That's because we have an entire freezer stocked full of ButcherBox, and that includes high-quality meat and seafood that we can trust. It's so convenient. It's delivered right to our doorstep, and there's always free shipping. I mean, where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Tiffer and Mickey love it, and so will you. At least one of them is always around asking when the new ButcherBox is arriving. Sign up at butcherbox.com/mega and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/mega and use code MEGA to choose your free for a year offer plus $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here. Lord, we are here. And we're ready.
Ready
to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where every week we give our megachurch a tiny family feel. We introduce you to members of our church staff, sometimes people from our community, and I always think it's a treat, and I always think it's a treasure. And per use, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Haas.
Hey, give me a J for Jesus, Hallie. How are you?
So blessed. How are you? How are your Climax kids,
well,
Gray?
Well, we had such a blessed weekend with my teens in Climax because, you know, we did a really fun kind of content generation project where we went around in the Climax bus and we picked up different teens around Indianapolis and we filmed their testimonials.
Awesome.
Hallie, these stories, I mean, they will just melt your heart.
Aww.
Kids who have found Jesus and are continuing to spread the good word all over the place. You know, we had this awesome camera crew. We had lights. We were just, you know, pumping out some amazing content. So really fun.
That sounds super cool.
You know, and then we got pulled over.
Oh, no.
Weirdly, I know. I'm not exactly sure why, but I guess there is another bus that is called the Climax bus that goes around, and the cops said that whatever they're doing on that bus with their film crew is not very Christian.
What are they doing?
I have no idea. I can't even imagine it.
Oh, no.
But yeah, so that was really great.
But he only found godly stuff on your fun bus.
That is right. And you can look at fun, you know, Climax fun bus on TikTok and see all those great clips.
That's so cool. And great, you had a birthday this week, right?
Oh, I'm
happy birthday.
Thank you so much, Hallie.
We have to sing happy birthday.
Actually, Hallie, you know, in Australia we don't sing happy birthday like you
Is
guys
that right?
do. Yeah, you know, we have our own birthday song where in Australia, you get to do a solo on your birthday and everybody just kind of backs you up, which is really fun.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, do you want to do it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'll teach you. This is the Australian birthday song.
Okay.
So first, you do the backup and then you go, Oogie boogie, oogie oogie, oogie boogie, oogie oogie, oogie boogie, oogie oogie, oogie boogie.
Oh, great, yeah.
Hey now, it's my birthday. Say a prayer for me. God has blessed my every step, and he's deep inside of me. Keep it up, Hallie, come on. I can feel his spirit. I know it's not fake.
Oogie boogie,
time to spit on all the candles and blow out all the cake.
That's so cool.
So yeah, you kind of lost your temper there, Hallie. But yeah, that's how it goes.
Wait, so in Australia, you spit on the candles?
Yeah, you spit on the candles and you blow out the cake. You try to blow the cake off the table.
Oh, yeah, and you ate cake?
Oh, no, I don't eat cake.
Oh.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Well, I got to tell you, Gray, I was down at Lead Pastor Steve's Lake House in Brown County for an executive team meeting on church finances.
Oh, that sounds like a blast.
It was so cool. And then Steve got an important call, and it turned out that he needed to be back to the Twin Hills campus like stat.
Oh, emergency calls. He gets those sometimes.
So he and his assistant, Kimmy, who was on the executive team meeting trip.
Love Kimmy.
They were going to jump in the helicopter because he has that landing pad down at the lake. And then all of a sudden Steve stops and he goes, Hallie, you better jump in the chopper with us so I'm not alone with the lady. And Gray, I just thought that is so cool.
I love that that is where his mind goes.
Right. He is like, you
always
know what?
Always thinking about it.
I don't want my colleagues or anyone in the world to see me jumping in a chopper with a young lady.
You got to avoid the appearance of evil, Hallie.
At all times.
It's in the Bible.
It's right there in the Bible. And so I just thought it was so cool. And then I also thought it was cool that I was going to be taking a helicopter ride.
Totally. I didn't even know he had one of those, but that's good to know.
Then it was so crazy as the meeting's wrapping up, Steve's nurse practitioner, Delia, comes running in because half of, we have to take those awful nose swab COVID tests for these like retreat things because
right.
Like 80% of our staff have this new variant right now.
It's so annoying.
So any hoodles, we'd been shoving those COVID things up into our brains, it feels like. So Delia comes running out and it turns out she's like, Kimmy, you have COVID.
Oh no.
So
and, you know, it's weird because Steve's the only one who seems to really care about COVID around him. Everybody else, I'm like, whatever.
I'm like, we've had it. You're going to have it. It's nothing different than the cold, you know. So she can't get in the helicopter now, but the blades are already going and we're kneeling down in the grass approaching the passenger side door type of thing, you know.
Oh, like Black Hawk Down.
Yeah. And so Steve and I came back to Indy in the chopper together and it was so awesome. You know, and he couldn't really talk when we were up in the air because he said his headset wasn't working. But, you know, the view out the window was really cool.
Oh, that's cool.
It was neat.
Well, so were you the only one on the chopper?
Yeah, it ended up just being the two of us because, you know, Kimmy couldn't get in because of the COVID.
But that means that you were the only lady on the chopper.
Alone with Steve?
Yeah.
I pointed that out to him, but he said women over 40 don't count.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. We're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Just like Jesus had a stepdad in Joseph, our guest today ministers to stepdads. It is my pleasure to introduce Timmy Birchtold. Welcome.
Great to be here, guys. Thank you so much for fitting me in. You know, I had to pick up Logan from soccer, and then I got to get Stephanie from a trombone lesson in a little bit. So I appreciate you squeezing me in.
Oh, my awesome. Goodness. Well, this is such a unique thing that you were doing, Timmy, because, and I love your shirt, by the way, number two dad, I guess is what that says.
Yeah, with the one crossed out. And then, you know, I've added some embellishments. The kids are into crafting right now, and their mother's not really available. So I'll head down to Hobby Lobby. Obviously, I want to support them any chance I get. And
absolutely.
Just pick up some hot glue and some jewels and some gems. And yeah, so yeah, I mean, originally I think this just said, I love my dad, but I've altered it. If you notice, it's a bit like an affliction shirt.
You've bedazzled it. That is so cool. You're crafty, Timmy. I love a crafty fella.
Well, it's my pleasure. You know, I believe crafting is service. I always
right?
like to say.
Isn't that right?
Well, you know, Timmy, I did want to jump right in with, what is this Joseph ministry that you're doing for stepdads? Tell us a little bit about just the need that stepdads have right now, and how you're attacking this problem, really, from a Jesus and Christ-based perspective.
You know, it all started accidentally about a year and a half ago. I was home with the kids. My wife was out. She's out pretty much six nights a week.
Oh, wow.
Just, you know, she says it's time that she needs. And I want to support that and honor that. And, you know, she just needs to recharge the battery. So I'm home with the kids. And I saw my daughter, Stephanie, watching TV. My stepdaughter.
Okay, yeah, you do.
Actually, she doesn't even really like when I use that term.
Oh, really?
I guess I would say my bonus daughter. My bonus daughter, Stephanie. She was watching a program called Euphoria on HBO Max. And I saw the way they were portraying stepfathers on that show, and I was quite frankly horrified.
Oh.
Disgusted. And I said, is this how people see us? I mean, is this how people see the stepfather? The guy who steps in, the guy who steps up, you know, that steps up to be a father. And I thought, there's got to be others out there. We're probably all in the shadows right now, like little golems just hoarding our love for our stepchildren. And we need to get out in the light. And so I started some fellowship and a brotherhood.
Oh, that is awesome. Now, for those of us who haven't seen Euphoria.
I've never even heard of it.
How are they portraying the stepdads?
Well, I mean, believe me, up until that moment, I only identified Euphoria as an emotion. I did not know it was a program. But I'll put it this way. The dads are, I don't know if we can use profanity, the dads are horny. The dads are very horny. The stepdads, the regular dads, the biological dads. Basically, all the dads are bad. It's a show about bad dads, to my knowledge. I actually only watched about 14 seconds of the show before I was able to kind of get the gist of all of it. So from my knowledge, the stepdads tend to be neglectful. They tend to be chasing after the other moms, chasing after the seniors.
Okay.
It's just, it's not... There's no God in that show.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so you saw this, you saw a brief glimpse of Euphoria, and we will say that wasn't an emotion for you. That was some show that you saw.
No, that was not how I felt, no.
Right. And so you took that and you started this awesome brotherhood. And what are you guys doing in the Joseph ministry as stepdads who are stepping up for your stepchildren or your bonus kids, as you said?
And absolutely great. Not a problem. The language is hard to wrap your brain around, because I mean that anyone wouldn't want to just be the biological father is always shocking to us SDs, us stepdads. You know, we wish we were the biological fathers, but a lot of times, you know, we got married in our mid-40s, and you know, it was we spent a lot of time collecting comics instead of courting a lady, and you know, and we're paying the price for that now. But you know, we start off with projects. We believe in service first, so we do a thing called Venting with Venting. And that's where we'll go over to somebody's house that has some blocked ducts or some, you know, some HVAC heating and air conditioning that's not quite working. it's a good opportunity because there's a lot of noise that can cover up any crying or strong emotions that you have. And we'll just kind of let out our frustrations with our current situation. You know, a good friend of mine from the church, I don't know if you guys know Billy McManus.
Yeah.
His son or his stepson, his bonus boy, I mean, he wouldn't stop calling him Bill. You know, he was calling him Bill. He wasn't calling him Billy. He was just disrespectful, throwing snowballs at him from the refrigerator. He's taking ice and grinding it up in one of those Snoopy snow cone makers and hawking snowballs in the summer. And, you know, Billy was upset. I mean, he was bawling his eyes out. So, we got his AC back down. The house is at the cool 70 degrees. And you know, we're working on it. We're going to talk to his bonus boy. And we're hopefully going to have a respectful tone in the house pretty soon.
Awesome. I love that. So you really, it's just sounding to me like, you know, maybe stepdads aren't as respected as maybe a normal or regular dad is in this scenario.
Yeah, you know, I like to think of it like a football game. You know, there's the quarterback, the starting quarterback. Everybody's rooting for that guy. You know, he's the hero. The kids are all wearing that jersey. The sons and daughters are all wearing the jersey of their dad. Well, that quarterback, you know, he takes a random shot to the knee, blows out an ACL. Who comes in? The backup. And that's where the stepdads are. We're the backups. We're the Frank Reichs. We're the Nick Foles. I'm out of references. I don't really follow football. I find it too violent. And also, my ex's husband played for the Green Bay Packers, so there's a little bit
of, really?
You know.
Oh, yeah. Contentious. Yeah. You're the understudies.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's really cool. And you know what? You hear a lot about the evil stepmother, you know, from Cinderella or Snow White, you know, but you never think about the plight of the stepdads.
And I appreciate that. Hallie, if you go into the archives in Germany or really any European city, there is the Brothers Grimm, they wrote endlessly about stepfathers, but that has all been erased. I guess for whatever reason, audiences just didn't respond to any stepfather-driven tales. So a lot of times, either the father was erased entirely, stepfather was erased and replaced by a stepmother or some sort of talking animal or a tree with magical powers. But if you go back to the original text, most of those characters are stepfathers.
Really? Wow. Oh, that is so fascinating. You know, you stepped in where, you know, kind of as the backup quarterback, as you said. Tell us a little bit about how you came to meet your wife. I'm not sure if I caught a name.
Yeah, Naomi, my moon, my precious gem, my world.
Oh, is that a full name? Is she Native American?
She's not. She's not. She's mostly Canadian.
Oh, okay.
She identifies mostly as Canadian, but there's a little bit of French Canadian as well. So she's kind of a Canadian, French Canadian.
So those are names you just call her.
Yeah, okay. We those are just little pet names that I call her. We did 23andMe, and it just kind of came back returned to sender. So we don't know what happened with the sample, but so. We're not sure. I don't even know that she's that interested. I kind of just caught a little bit of saliva one day when she was going to town on a porterhouse that I had made her. So it was kind of almost an unasked for thing.
That
anyway.
Sounds good. Naomi's a good biblical name.
I love a steak.
Yeah.
Oh, she's a good biblical wife. We met speed dating. Ooh. There was a speed dating conference. I was working security at the door. I wasn't even part of it. I was just checking people in and kind of checking IDs, doing light pat downs if anyone seemed like they had, you know, a little too much going on. And I flagged her. I flagged her coming in. She was in, first of all, full camo, which was weird. She was in full camo. Green Bay. It turned out it was Green Bay Packers Support the Vets camo gear from her ex. So that made more sense once I kind of stopped and thought about it. But I had her in an interrogation room for about 2 hours. And what that turned into was basically, it was like speed dating. You know, I got to know everything about her, her ID, her last known whereabouts, you know, what she was planning on doing. And at first she was not happy with me. But by the end, I'm not proud of this. I kind of just fudged it and said like, hey, you know, I'm interested in you. That's why I flagged you. And she was like, okay, so this is not a citizen's arrest. You have not taken me hostage. She dropped kind of any complaints that she had. And we went out to the Olive Garden a couple days later and we've been together ever since.
The Olive Garden. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
And when did you find out that she had two bonus kids or whatever?
Oh, the bonus kids. I found out pretty immediately, actually at the Olive Garden. It was a Thursday. She was very insistent that we go on a Thursday. Kids eat free on Thursday.
Oh, the kids went on the date.
Yeah. And it wasn't one of those situations where they were like three dogs in a trench coat. It was a one human woman with two very obvious children by her side. And I said, what the heck's going on here? And I pretended to, you know, ID them and do the whole security guard thing as a joke. She got pretty upset about that. So I dropped that right away. So we went into the OG, and the four of us sat down and had a meal. And I would say about three quarters of the way through the meal, Naomi looked up at me and she said, you know what? I just remembered I have a previous engagement. Would you mind keeping an eye on Logan and Stephanie for a bit? Honestly, I did mind, but I was so, you know, I was so smitten that I said, yeah, sure. And I'll be honest, those kids were very disrespectful that first night, throwing breadsticks, hurling hurling three bean salad at me. Logan took a tour of Italy twice, which is an entree there that is pretty decadent. It's a lasagna, a chicken parm cutlet, and then some linguine. We were there till closing time, and Naomi still hadn't returned, so I basically had to go home with the kids that night and babysit them and put them to bed.
And where did she go that night? Did you find out?
You know, she's very cryptic about where she goes because, and she says this, and I agree, if I think she's up to no good, then there's no trust in our relationship. Uh-huh. Like, I have to just accept that she's going where she's got to go. She's going where God is directing her. She's on a path, and it's a godly path. And the more questions I ask, the more I'm, you know, kind of chipping away at the integrity of our relationship. So, I mean, I've found casino chips in her jean pockets. Yeah. I've found a loose cigarette here and there. I found a matchbook for a bar that has a name that is associated with the devil. All sorts of trinkets and stuff, but I don't know. I mean, maybe she's doing community theater, you know, and those are props.
Oh, sure. Actually, yeah. Mm. Yeah, that would make total sense. And, you know, I think a lot of people who get into the arts are sort of embarrassed by it because you can't make a living. Right. You know, people think you're kind of weird. You do have to keep weird hours.
Mm-hmm.
How long were you dating before you decided to go ahead and get married? I mean, this is such a romantic origin story. Yeah. I love it.
It was a fairy tale, not to go back to the Brothers Grimm, but like an enchanted tree, I had roots down immediately. I stayed there that night. She didn't get back till 6 a.m., so I had fallen asleep on the Lazy Boy. I had Sports Center on. Again, I don't identify too much with sports. Even at that point, before I knew that she had been married to a Green Bay Packer, sports are so intimidating for me. You know, there's all these alpha males out there hollering, you know, just yelling at the top of their lungs, go this way, hit that. That wasn't a strike. Dunk, you know? And I was like, I just can't, it's too much for me. So I put Sports Center on. I don't know. I was probably just trying to impress her. She showed up about 6 a.m. and I was too sleepy to drive. And I can't drink coffee because of a pre-existing medical condition. So I had to sleep off another 5-6 hours. And I'll be honest, I'm not, you know, not that there, nothing bad happened till we were legally wed. I never left.
Oh,
no.
That is so amazing. So you were under the same roof and just, you know, acting as a support from day one, it sounds like.
So it was a bit of a Tony Danza, who's the boss, Angela, Tony situation. I was, awesome. You know, at first much more of a babysitter, a nanny, a housekeeper. And then, you know, we were dating technically, you know, we had gone on a date. I had held her in the security briefing room for 2 hours. That was our first date, I think. So, you know, things just kind of unfolded from there.
Wow. That is so cool. Have you ever had that typical standoff that a lot of step parents have with their bonus boys or bubble kids or where they say, I hate you, you're not my real dad. You know, how do you handle that?
Oh, I mean, I had a typical, and I actually had a real standoff with Logan. He had gotten to some, I have a collection of samurai swords are, but they're military authentic. They're Japanese military authentic. And Logan got to one of my swords and he held me at sword point for about 4.5 hours, on my birthday. I had asked him just for my birthday to not say any F's, any S's, any D's, any other bad words. I said, Logan, I know I'm not your real father, but for my birthday, can you keep your mouth clean? Can you keep it clean? Can you live in the light of God? Can you let God into your heart for my birthday? And he whipped out a katana, held it to my sternum for 4.5 hours. And he said, he just kept repeating, try me MF-er, try me MF-er.
Oh, no.
And it was,
and is he pretty strong? Could he take you type of thing? Or like, what's your weight difference?
I weigh about 325 pounds. I'm 6'1". He's 4'11", 95 pounds.
Okay.
85, 95 pounds. I mean, we took his last checkup. I took him to the doctor, said head. He was in the 90th percentile head. He's got a big head. Everything else, bottom 15 percentile, tiny body. Wow.
But he's holding a very heavy sword.
Absolutely.
So that gets added to his weight. So he's not just a buck. He's probably buck 75.
And you're thinking, you know, the only way to stop a bad kid with a sword is a good guy with a sword.
That's
and
exactly
also,
what I thought.
But then, you know, you're also thinking, hey, this is my son.
Yes.
Even though he's my stepson, I'm treating him like my son. So I can't just go ham on him and slice him or something.
That's right. I certainly never considered slicing an option. I did. There is a technique where you hit the butt of the sword to stun someone. I did consider a stun, but I got to be honest, he had me pretty prone. There wasn't really any evasive plan. And then Stephanie got in with the nunchucks, and that's when it was basically all over for me. She was spinning him around like a couple of windmills. She was really just whipping him around.
Was she trying to disarm him, or was she more also against you there in that situation?
I'll be honest. At first, I thought she was trying to disarm him, and I started weeping. I mean, I was bawling my eyes out because she kept saying, not today, not today of all days, not today. We're not doing this day. And I realized she was saying, we're not celebrating your birthday today.
Oh,
not today. We're not celebrating your birthday today. Yeah. Oh. But you know what? They're kids.
Yep.
I made a lot of mistakes when I was a kid. You know,
yep.
I turned my homework in a day late.
Yep.
Totally.
That's true. And if you think about it, they've been so traumatized by losing their real dad, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who knows what type of things he taught them? He might have taught them that violence is the answer, you know?
Yeah. And they see him every week on TV. You know, he's a very successful broadcaster. He's up there, you know, on the network. He's basically got a public platform every single week, and they watch him, and everybody loves him, and they're both on Twitter. They're very active on social media, and I ask them not to, but you know, what control do I have? And you know, it's not easy, you know, because every time I say something, their dad can, you know, clap back at me via broadcast television.
Oh, really? Has he shouted you out loud, live and on the air?
Absolutely. I don't know how much you guys are into sports, but there was a pretty famous moment two Thanksgivings ago where he told me that if I ever brought another sword into the house, that he would personally pull a Game of Thrones on me. Is what he said. He said, "I'll pull a Game of Thrones." And I haven't watched that show, but I had a friend call me up and say that could have meant several things:
Okay. A
melting, a beheading, something on a spike, a curse, a dragon ripping apart. I mean, it could have been anything. So
sure,
yeah, not good.
Well, I do think, Timmy, the one thing that you can say is that you've always taken the high road. And even though right now you are clearly in the fight for your life, and you know, you have a lot of examples in the Bible of really great dads who have done great things. And I think you can just align yourself with them, even though I bet it sometimes you would wish, hey, I'd like a little bit of whatever Job got when those kids get out of hand. You probably wish that, you know, God could, take them off your hands for a little bit.
I mean, I'll admit there's been some nights where I've said, contact me, God, give me a message, give me a command. But I also, before we get going, I want to make sure you guys sign my cast. I do need you guys to, both the arm and the leg,
okay.
if you don't mind, both of them.
And I meant to ask that because I have heard, you know, you're clanging around a little bit. Yeah. What happened there?
Yeah. And how are you able to get around? Because you can't use crutches for the broken leg when you have the broken arm. I mean, what do you do?
And I did also want to ask about the inscription on the back of the cast, because I saw it when you walked in, and I don't like to say this word out loud, but it just says, it's an F. It starts with an F.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm wondering who wrote that.
How many letters? F?
It's actually five letters, but the first four are the ones, and then it's got an O at the end.
Yeah. And the hard part about that is that was written by Logan, Stephanie, and Naomi, as well as their biological father, when we were trying to have what we called Modern Family Night.
Okay.
Which is where we all got together. Their father brought his new wife, or I guess... existing wife, and they all just took turns. They said they were going to write something pretty special on my arm, and they wrote that word "fo," if you will.
Yeah.
Rhymes with bucko.
Yes,
buckaroo.
Exactly. Yeah.
Let's unpack that in reverse. How do I get around? Pirouettes. Basically, for many years I was a classically trained ballerina, and unfortunately, I hided out and I waited out of the ballerina game right around the age of 19. So. There's a pretty strict, I hate to call it a mafia, but there's a group in the ballet community that'll push you out the second you get over 250 pounds or 6 feet.
Okay.
You're just done. You're cooked. So pirouettes, that's pretty much how I get around. How did I get injured? It's tough to talk about. You could probably guess. We were doing something that the kids like to call dry sledding. That's where you take a toboggan out onto a grass hill and you go down and you see how far you can go. Logan and Stephanie said, this is so funny. This is actually the only time they've ever called me dad. They said, dad, we want you to try it first so we can feel safe.
I love that.
And I'm crying. I'm bawling my eyes out. And then they proceed to just jettison me right into an oak tree.
Really?
They just, I mean, again, neither one of these kids could possibly weigh more than 95 pounds. I mean, Stephanie might weigh 60 pounds. And they pushed me with the force of, you know, a professional wrestler 50 feet into an oak tree. And I got air. I mean, I didn't hit the thing on the ground. I was 4 feet off the ground, Chevy Chase Christmas Vacation style, straight into a tree.
Wow. You're lucky to be alive.
Amen. And that's truly, thank God was with me that day.
Yeah. I mean, you know? That is Christmas in July gone awry. Yeah. That had happened.
Right. The fact that they called me dad,
it
you know, whatever the intent was after that, that was a win.
It means the world.
Well, what do you have to say to other stepdads that might be in this place, which is, you know, we probably got at least a handful of stepdads who listen to this, and they're probably going, I deal with the same things. I deal with these kids who I just can't connect with, who won't call me dad, who call me by my first name, who hold me at knife point. And I think that that's something just to, you know, if there's any bit of glimmer of hope that you can give them, what would that be?
There's no point in waking up looking forward to how your day is going to go. All you can do is survive.
Okay, so you're saying sort of stay in the moment.
All you can do It's stepfather, not leapfather, not boundfather, not gallopfather. It's one step at a time. Stepfather.
Wow, that's so cool.
And in your case, sometimes it's step down, and it could be step down a hill.
Sometimes it's step down a hill. Sometimes it's fling. Sometimes it's launch.
Right.
Well, Timmy, forgive me if this is too personal a question, but I just want to understand a little bit of the stepfather culture and how much you demand purity inside that culture. For instance, does everyone in your group have to be purely a stepfather, having never, you know, planted seeds of their own, I guess you would say, elsewhere, and who now happen to be, like, have you any of your own seedlings out there anywhere, or are you purely a stepfather?
Well, that's a complicated question. I did not always think that I was going to get married.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I did always believe that I had a genetic gift and an aptitude towards the ballet. So there was a time where I was known as a bit of a breeder, as a stud in the ballet community, where I would donate my essence to aspiring ballerinas that would maybe want to have more ballerinas of their own, or, you know, and that was for me. That was a godly purpose. You know, I didn't think, first of all, you know, no matter what I do to these eyebrows, they're connected. So, you know, that's aesthetically not appealing to women. So that was tough to date. In your 20s, people are so about looks, you know? Yeah. So I thought the marriage game is out of the question for me. I got this massive brow. I kind of got a Shrek build. Let me just try and have a legacy by having, you know, the next generation of dancers all have a little bit of my appearance. So yeah, I have, I guess this is turning into a long answer. I have 45 biological
is
children.
That right?
Is that right?
Wow.
So some of the seeds took,
I have 45.
Guess.
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah, 45 of them did. I don't have a relationship with any of them, and that is by legal design. That is, I signed that away immediately. There was no gray area there, no pun intended gray.
That's awesome.
But that's by design. They absolutely eliminated any possibility of a relationship with any of those kids. But I keep track of the ballerina trades, the ballet trades. I'm subscribed to several ballet blogs. I'm in the modern dance, forums, and there's a few that I got to pretty
good. Okay, so you do kind of keep tabs. Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, there's a chunky little guy in Buffalo that's doing. He's playing the Rat King in the Nutcracker, and I got to be honest with you, I recognize that first position. I recognize his demi plies. I can tell that he's. I think it's pretty obvious it's Birch Toll. But you know what? It's none of my business. I signed it away. And, you know, I got two people to focus on, and that's Logan and Stephanie. You know, I can't let my mind wander too far.
Well, maybe God gave you these this bubble boy and bubble girl into your life to honor you for having honored him with your sexual purity. Because even though you were giving away your seeds, you know, upwards of 45 times at the very least, you know what you were doing? In so doing, you were avoiding having premarital sex. And I think that's very cool. So God's rewarding you.
Thank you for contextualizing it that way, because I beat myself up pretty bad about it in the past.
No.
I said, what were you doing? Well, you spent so many nights at home watching reruns of Nash Bridges when you could have been out there at the club dancing. You got this gift.
Yeah.
Even if you can't go pro, dance for the people.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I feel like if Logan and Stephanie would just let me dance for them,
right.
You know, if they just give me 30 seconds to just, you know, do one section of Swan Lake, just give me a little snippet of Swan Lake and I could be the swan.
That's so beautiful.
You know what? They're not there yet. They're not ready yet. So if you could hold space for that in your hearts,
yeah,
I'd really
appreciate it. I'll put it up on my prayer list.
Yeah, we will pray for that. What sort of things are Logan and Stephanie into, if not ballet?
Okay. Logan is into this, it's this comic called Death Note. That is basically you write in a book that you want someone to die, and then this demon comes and kills them. And he's constantly telling me that I'm in his death notes. And I'm like, Logan, you're so funny. It's a really gruesome tale. And then and Stephanie, I worry about Stephanie. Her father takes her to Hot Topic a lot. So she's got a lot of graphic tees from bands that I don't think she really understands. My Chemical Romance, stuff like that, where I'm like, that's not music. Listen to some Jars of Clay with me,
Really.
You know, listen to a little Engelbert Humperdinck with me, you know, let's throw it back. Let's keep it, you know, how about I put some Mel Torme records on and we just dance, Stephanie, we just dance. And she'll do this thing. It's so funny. She'll pretend to spit. She'll hiss like a snake. And she'll, pss, pss, pss. And then I know that's time to back off. You know, give her space.
Oh, wow. Well, that takes a real emotional intelligence, you know, raising kids is so hard. And Timmy, I just wanted to ask because I think you're one of the most unusual men I've ever met. And I mean this in the best possible way, because you've mentioned both having an emotional life where you experience feelings that make you cry. And you've mentioned crying a few times today.
I cannot believe that. You may be the first guy I've ever met that cries.
And you've mentioned ballet and that combination of being a ballerina. Is it called a ballerina if it's a boy, or is it a ballerino, or how do you go?
It's actually a ballerinist.
Oh, cool. So being a ballerinist and being an emotional creature, it seems highly unusual for a fella. And I just was wondering, do you get bullied and tormented for being both emotional and a ballerinist?
Oh, yeah. Oh, every day.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Absolutely. But you know what? When I pirouette, when I spin, nothing can touch me. Mm-hmm. I'm an F5 tornado. As they say in Twister, I'm the finger of God.
Wow.
I'm spinning so fast, nobody can get near me. And the ones that do get near me, they're in my safe zone. They're in the void. I keep them safe. I spin around them so that no one can get to them. There's cows flying. There's trucks flying. Pieces of fence spinning all around me. And there they are. They're safe right here, right in my arms, awesome. Right in that void.
That is awesome.
I love that image. And I think, you know, as a stepdad, I think a lot of stepdads could, I mean, I'm not a stepdad, but I think a lot of stepdads could take that image and go, totally, there is a tornado every time I walk in the door with a bunch of kids that are not mine, just because I had to get with this lady. Mm. And even though that feels like a storm here inside, because I've got Jesus and in my heart, there is a calm and a patience that I can use with these kids to give them an awesome life, because that's what you're doing. You're really mentoring, you know, you're really mentoring Stephanie and Logan to a relationship with Christ. And I think they're going to turn around one day and say, thank you. Thank you for doing that, even though, you know, A, I tried to stab you, or B, I tried to spit at you.
Yeah, well, God bless you for saying that. And I hope you're right. I'm banking on that. I'm not a betting man. You know, I think, you know, games of chance are obviously forbidden, unless it's a church-funded casino night for a charitable cause. But I got all my chips on that roulette spot, so to speak. You know, yeah. I hope it lands on Dad. I hope the ball spins around and it lands on Dad.
Yeah. Well, if I might offer you a word basket of encouragement, Timmy, I think it's really cool that you're in touch with your emotions. And in fact, I wanted to ask you, because it could help me as a very emotional person who, I cry a lot. I'm going to be honest with you. I cry a lot. And a lot of times I feel like I have to go hide it because people are going to think it's unprofessional. People are going to think it's this, that, or the other. Like, what do you do when you cry? How do you manage it? And how do you experience it or hide it, so to speak?
Well, I call it the three S's, okay? The shower, uh-huh. You cry in the shower.
Okay.
The Sentra, you cry in your Nissan Sentra, or the sanctuary. You cry in a small place inside our beautiful giant church, a small corner. The shower, the Sentra, the sanctuary. You find those spots. You make a little cry palace of your own there. Oh, you let it all out. Cool. Sure, you got some water under your eyes. You look, you're a little flush in the face. You're choked up. What's going on? Oh, I just did 15 jumping jacks. I'm a little flush. I just did 15 jumping jacks. I was so moved by Christ that I leapt into the air with both arms spread 15 times, and now I'm sweating, and that's all there is. No further questions.
Nothing to see here. That is so cool.
So yeah, shower, Sentra, sanctuary.
That, I'm going to make a note of that, Timmy. And then also, I just want to ask before we let you go, because you mentioned at the top that in this Euphoria movie, that all the stepdads were, shall we say, you know, aroused by, you know, I don't know, juicy behinds or nice breasts on a gal or these kids really? Who are still in high school. And I just was wondering, speaking of like maintaining purity, how do you keep all the fellas in your stepdad group, all your Josephs, how do you keep all of them from being aroused or quote unquote horny or, you know, excited by, you know, school kids or whatnot?
All right, I hesitate to reveal trade secrets, but there's, you know, the fish place, Culver's?
Love that. I love Culver's.
The fish, the walleye fish fries?
Totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I read an article in Popular Science magazine that the walleye that they use have a natural testosterone destabilizer, a de-escalator. So I encourage my group to have walleye 3 to 5 times a week because I find it dociles the male. You know, it kind of makes the bear safe for people to watch at the zoo. So we're having Culver's walleye 3 to 5 nights a week. And that kind of just keeps them, I want to say it keeps them in a trance or a coma, but it definitely, I will say, it turns the flame down a little bit.
Oh,
you know?
Good to know. It's the opposite of an aphrodisiac.
That is right.
That is so cool. Timmy Burchtold was played by the lovely Tommy Bechtold. What a treasure. You can check him out on the new Rockstars YouTube channel and follow him at Tommy Bechtold.
I'm Holly Laurent, playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.